Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's conference call. Again, my name is Christina Hunkin, and I'm a program assistant with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I'm going to give a brief introduction for today's call titled the Department of Veterans Affairs Capital Grant Process. This call is being recorded and is made possible by technical assistance grants given to NCHV. The audio recording will be made available to all of our callers within the next few days, and I'll send an email out to everyone once we do have the call available. So stay tuned for that. A revised presentation handout is posted on our website. Yesterday you all received a different presentation, but we've added a few pages. So if you'd like to take this opportunity to go to our website right now, our website is www.nchv.org. On the right side of our page, there is an NCHV conference calls icon. If you click on that, you'll see a link for this call. Click on that link. And next to the date for this call, there is to download presentation, click here. If you click on that, you'll be able to download a PDF of the revised presentation that Melanie will be giving today. So please do feel free to download that so you can follow along. If you did not have an opportunity to send in questions before today's call, a question and answer session will follow Melanie's presentation. I think you might be able to ask some questions during the presentation as well. Okay, I've already muted the lines. To unmute your lines later to ask questions, compress star 7. Again, that's star 7 to unmute your line. Then to mute your line, you can press the mute button on your phone or star 6. Okay, thank you again for joining us. I would like to now turn the call over to NCHV's Director of Technical Assistance and Finance, Melanie Lilliston. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. I just want to welcome everybody to the call today. I apologize, I am out of the office, so I am facilitating this call from sunny LA. I picked the right week to head out. It's, I think, 5 degrees in DC this week, so for once I planned my travel well. I am going to be talking today about the capital grant that is offered by the Department of Veterans Affairs. The big question everyone wants to know is, when is the money coming out? We have been notified that the fund could come out fairly soon. What that means is really not sure. I would say probably within the next 6 to 8 weeks. That doesn't mean it couldn't come out next week, but my guess is that probably within the next 6 to 8 weeks, we will be seeing a NOFA, if not before then. What that means for those of you who are interested in applying for this grant, now is the time to start looking and starting to fill out this application. We do know, since I've told you what we don't necessarily know, we do know that the grant is going to be a capital grant. And so that is what we're going to talk about today in regards to what is the capital grant, what funds can you use those for, how do you apply, and all of the different aspects of that. For those of you who have downloaded the new updated version, there isn't that much that's been added, but I thought for those organizations and individuals who are not familiar with exactly what some of the terminology we use are, I wanted to do a quick brief introduction so that way everybody's kind of on the same page, because if you're working with other federal grants, sometimes different definitions are involved, and the definitions that we're going to be talking about today are the ones that are related to the Department of Veterans Affairs. So if you look on the second page of the updated version, I want everyone to really know what a homeless veteran is, because there's different definitions running around depending on if you're talking about HUD, if you're talking about HHS, if you're talking about Department of Ed. This definition is the one that the Department of Veterans Affairs uses, and it is a person who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate residence or has a nighttime residence that is supervised publicly or privately operated shelter, providing temporary accommodations. So if a person is going shelter to shelter in the evening, an institution that provides a temporary residence for individuals intended to be institutionalized, or a public or private place not designed for or originally used as a regular sleeping accommodation for human beings, this would be people that live under the bridges, individuals that are just commonly on the streets or a bus shelter, something along those lines. Now, what you will notice is that this does not include individuals that are doubled up. So if you have a veteran that is, living with his sister on the sofa, that person is not considered homeless. So these are all things that you're going to want to keep in mind when you're looking for individuals to enter into your program. This is the definition that you must adhere to in order to get VA funding. And the VA estimates that there are roughly 196,000 homeless veterans on a given night. What I'll say is one veteran is too many, but this number is slowly going down with help from the VA and organizations such as yours that are serving veterans. But the most important thing here is that you're going to want to look locally and see what types of numbers you have, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But the main thing is that you make sure that when you talk about homeless, what a homeless veteran in your organization's program, this is what you are referring to. The next thing I want to talk about is why veterans are homeless, because this should be an integral part of how you're designing your programs. If you don't know why individuals are homeless, then how can you actually serve them in the best capable way? So it's important to realize that male veterans are twice as likely to become homeless, and female veterans are four times more likely to become homeless as their non-veteran counterparts. We hear a lot about returning veterans, and yes, those numbers are increasing, but across the board, those numbers are only 5 to 8%. In some areas, there are going to be some areas of the country where there are much higher instances of returning veterans, but across the board, it's usually on the high end, estimating high, 5 to 8% of the total veteran population, homeless veteran population, are returning veterans. So still the majority of the people that organizations are serving are going to be your veterans that have served in previous conflicts. A large number of veterans live with post-traumatic stress disorders and addictions acquired during received by their military service, meaning they're going to have some issues that they're going to have to work with, and you're going to have to make and create programs and services that will help them deal and become successful after they have dealt with these programs. There is a lack of family and social supports due to lengthy periods away from their communities of origin. This is really important because if you have someone who has no ties to anything in their community, it's going to be very hard to keep them involved and working towards a common goal. So you're going to have to know that you're going to have to be the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, in a lot of instances to these individuals in your program, and that your case management should be on the holistic side in the sense that it serves the whole veteran, just not a certain part of it. And currently, as we all know, otherwise we wouldn't need this conference call, is that government money is limited and serves roughly 1 in 5 of veterans in need. And in most instances, those that are on the higher end of need in regards to services. So there is very much a greater desire and an interest to serve veterans. Of course, the big issue that comes up is how do we pay for those services. And like I mentioned before, the capital grant will help you do that. Specifically, the grant and per diem program is offered by the VA. They have been giving this particular grant since 1994, and currently they serve programs throughout all 50 states in the District of Columbia. There are two portions of funding under this grant, the grant, sometimes referred to as the capital portion, and the per diem component. Today we're going to talk mainly about the grant component. However, I'm going to briefly discuss the per diem just so that we have an idea. But as I mentioned before, what we have a feeling is going to come out is going to be the capital portion of this funding. Capital funds can be used for, and this is very important that you pay attention and realize what funds can be used for the acquisition, construction, and renovation for the building that will serve veterans. In some instances, if you've heard the term service center, sometimes it's used to include that. It is allowed underneath the statute law, but the last 3 or 4 times they have announced the NOFA, which is Notice of Funds Available, they have not funded service centers. So that our assumption is, once again, that they are not going to fund service centers, but the capital portion is going to be for the acquisition, construction, and renovation of a building that will provide housing and services to homeless veterans. It is not just housing and it is not just services. It's the combination thereof. The VA will provide 65% of the funding for the project. So an example here would be, I'll give you two different examples of what an organization might do. Let's say that you're in a big city, let's take Chicago, for instance, and there is an old building that is still standing, has a pretty good structure involved, but you know you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to do construction and rehab in order to get the building up to code and to the fire and safety fire and life safety codes, which can be found by contacting your local VA liaison at the medical center nearest you. If you're thinking of doing any sort of construction rehab, my suggestion to you is to get a copy of that from your grant per diem liaison at your medical center closest to you, and that person can tell you exactly what requirements that they're going to look in and survey your organization's building before you can be up and running. So for this example, you're in Chicago and you have a building that needs to be rehabbed. You've got the budget. You think you've got it set up to go. You know that you've got everything set up for the VA. You have a good idea of what needs to be done based on those fire and life safety codes, and you have a budget that you come up with. Now you take that budget and you take 65% of that, and that is what the VA is going to provide funds for. The other 35% has got to be non-federal money. There are a few instances where that can be changed, but usually about 90% of the case has to be non-federal money. So it's something to think about when you sit in your application, because if you can show or can say that you have access to those funds when the grant is given to your organization, you will receive extra points within your application. So once again, the key things here, the VA will pay for 65% of your total budget. When you are doing your budget, make sure you include things as making sure that you have sprinklers and ramps and all of those things that will be required for your organization to be able to open up the building and to be in compliance with that. And then the next part of that is with match, 35% cannot be federal money. Usually if individuals have questions on if certain type of funding is allowable, I will refer them to the VA because it's on a case-by-case discussion on what can be included or not. But typically it is not allowed. So I would start looking for private foundation funds. You can take a loan or and use types of bank funding for those types of things, but it cannot be federal funds. Once again, is what's allowed and what's not allowed in the capital grant. Remodeling or expanding VA property is allowed. So let's take another example here. You've got that building up in Chicago and running, and you've gone three years in, and you've decided that your 20 beds that you have and you're running, you need 20 more. So the VA will allow you to come back in and expand that program, but it will not allow you to get funds for the 20 beds that you already have. So if you're thinking about expanding, that would only be for the portion, the new portion. And remodeling would be involved with that. You're not allowed to acquire VA property. In some instances, they will let you do a long-term lease, but in most instances, they do not allow you to use funds to purchase VA property. And the most important thing to think about here is that operating costs and salaries are not allowed. All of those funds come when you apply for the per diem fund. So what happens is that you will fill out the per diem. Let me go back. That was a mistake. You will fill out the capital portion, and on the application, on the second or third page of the main application, it says, are you applying for per diem? If your organization wishes to include costs for services once the building is up, you can do that, but you have to request that within the first application. Once your application has been approved, then they will set your daily rate, which is a maximum of around $33. Some of the services, going into the per diem just a bit here just so you have an idea. Once your building is up and running and you did ask for that per diem fund within the first, your capital grant application, they will help provide payment for supportive housing and supportive services for those individuals enrolled in your program. Now, important to note is that your project has to be at least 75% veteran-specific, meaning if you have 100 beds within your program, 75 of them have to be for veterans. The other 25 can be for whoever you would like, their spouses, children, significant others, that is fine, but the VA will not pay for those individuals. You have to get funding from somewhere else. Some of the services that are often provided, health and dental services, mental health, drug counseling, benefits counseling, employment-related services, assessments, basic needs, assistance such as meals, transportation hygiene, outreach and case management, and transportation referrals. the key here is that you're taking someone from off the streets who has, in most instances, been on the street for quite a while and giving them the tools necessary to be self-sufficient and to improve their self-esteem in order to be productive in society. So you have to think about all of the services that are not accessible in your community. So if you live somewhere that has great health and dental services down the street at your local community clinic, then you're probably not going to want to provide them to your program. You're going to want to provide the referral to them. So that way you are not necessarily paying for that service. You're paying for the service, let's say, of employment training because that is not offered in your community. Now, sometimes it's hard for organizations to get a really big handle on this. And the way that you're going to want to look at this, if you haven't looked at your challenge report, which is done yearly by the VA, and each year they take the VISN areas, which is the Veterans Service Network, and they provide data on how many veterans are in the area and the top types of services that are being requested there. That should be your guide on what your organization should provide. As I mentioned before, the goal of the program is to achieve residential stability, to increase their levels and/or income, and to obtain greater self-determination. So you must keep these in mind while you're preparing your application and creating your program. Everything must tie back to these three goals in order for your program to be successful in receiving funding. Let's see. In order to be eligible for funding, like I mentioned before, it's for acquisition, renovation, and construction costs. And this is for transitional housing for up to 24 months to create or expand that type of housing. Anything over 24 months is considered permanent housing. You can create new or expand programs that are already in existence for veterans as long as you can document the fact that you're expanding those. And in most instances, funds under the capital portion are allowed for vans. And what they will do is in the NOFA, it will give the specific instructions on how much is available for each organization, the maximum that's available, and if vans are a part of the allowable expenses this time around. You must, in order to apply for any federal grant, and specific to the Department of Veterans Affairs, you must be a nonprofit, which includes 501c3s and 501c19s, which are veteran service organizations. What I will say is that if you have not applied for your nonprofit status, you're most likely not going to get the documentation that you need before this round of applications are due. Even if you have submitted and you have the paperwork that says that you have submitted and they're reviewing it, doesn't mean that you're official yet. You have to have your letter from the IRS that states that you are a nonprofit in order to apply, and that must be included in your first application or you will not be scored for your for review. You can also be a veteran service organization, a state or local government, or an Indian tribal government. You must be one of these, and you only have to be one in order to apply for funding underneath the Department of Veterans Affairs. Some of the main areas and the services that veterans need are coordinated efforts to provide secure housing and nutritional meals. Like I mentioned before, this is a holistic program, meaning you're providing housing, services, case management, employment, all things that individuals need to be successful. Essential health care is usually at the top of the list. If you've got someone that's been on the street for 10 to 15 years, their health is not going to be in the greatest shape, and they're going to need some pretty intensive care in order to get back up and to be at the state that will allow them to be comfortable and functioning at the highest level possible. Substance abuse, aftercare, and mental health counseling. These go hand in hand with a lot of the issues that some of the clients that you will have come in. You will have individuals that may come in and are going through withdrawal, or they are having, you know, the first successful portion of being off medication or on medication for the first time in a long time, and you will need someone that will help manage that. And your case managers are going to have to be versed in the fact that some individuals may need more hand-holding than others and how to successfully do that. Personal development and empowerment. If you've got someone that hasn't been in the workforce for 10 to 15 years, they may not be as versed on computers, they may not be comfortable enough to sit in a room. Hygiene is sometimes an issue. If you've got an individual that's not used to showering, you know, daily or every other day, how to dress for an interview, all of those types of things should be addressed within your program. And job assessment, training, and placement assistance. Just because, you know, a lot of the military jobs that these individuals grew up with don't necessarily automatically convey into the public sector. And so it's trying to determine how their skills can be best used and how their interests can be best used. So it's thinking about and really working with them to make a successful program. I think I'm going to stop right here for just a second and see if there's any questions on the information I have presented right now. I'm going to go through the grant application in a few minutes, but in general, in the introduction, are there specific questions on eligibility, services being offered, those types of things? The current daily rate for per diem is around $33 and some change. That changes based on the daily rate for your state homes. And it is determined once your application has been approved, and it is based on the types of services you offer. So in your application, if you state that you're going to provide 10 services, what they will do is to come back and make sure that you're providing all 10 of those services and give a cost for each one of those. And then it will, the maximum that you will be able to get will be the $33 within your area. So I'm going to stop for just a few minutes, and I'm not going to answer questions about the actual application because we're going to go over that in a minute. But I'm going to give about 10 or 15 minutes to see if there's specific questions on the information that I've already presented on. So if there are, if you can hit *7, correct, Christina? I don't have the stuff in front of me, and I will answer a few questions.
I have a question.
I have a question.
Okay, there was someone before you.
Go ahead.
I'm Chaplain Mary Murphy with Veterans Village.
Yes.
And we're in Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Yes.
And one of our main programs is we work with disabled veterans who are incarcerated, who had at the time of incarceration a 50% or more disability from the VA.
Okay, what's your question?
My question is, do you have a program that we can look at? Because we haven't been able to find a single other partner that we could look at to work with us on this. And we wondered if you had a reference.
Do you want to work with veterans while they're still incarcerated?
To prepare them for coming into the village.
Okay, one of the things that, and I'd be happy to talk with you possibly offline, is that all of the VA medical centers have outreach coordinators that are specifically supposed to be working with individuals that are preparing for the release of incarceration. So what we may be able to do is put you in touch with one in your area or put you in touch with one. I can think of a couple that do a nice job of that and see if that would be of assistance to you. So what I might suggest
is the one that we found here, we called over a week ago and emailed, and they haven't gotten back. So that will be wonderful if you can help us. And thank you very much.
Sure. If you could just send me an email, I'm out of the office the rest of the week, but I will do my best to try to pass on some information to you. My email address is nchv5@nchv.org, just to remind me to get that information, and then I'll have contact information for you also.
Thank you so much.
And I believe there's a gentleman that had a question.
Yes, this is Mike Brown from Inner City Community Organization in the San Francisco, Oakland Bay Area. And I understand that there's a maximum charge for the housing component, but what about the services component?
It's the same. Services and housing is $33 as a daily rate.
So if you have a intensive substance abuse component, you can't compensate the people that comes in to do that work with those veterans?
You can, but the maximum that you can charge the VA is $33 per day.
Okay. And if you I got you. Okay, I'm clear on that. All right.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. If you guys can be patient with us, it's hard when we can't see the names and such. So
right.
Be patient. We'll try to get to you. Go ahead.
I want to confirm that a person that's in jail, coming out of jail, and entering a halfway house is not considered homeless?
They have to be homeless for one night. That means they would have to be in a shelter. A lot of times what organizations do, I know it sounds wacky.
I know they partner,
A lot of organizations, what they'll do is they work with a local shelter that will reserve a bed for them because it's a shelter. They would go and pick them up. Take them to the shelter and then pick them, so they would stay there for the night. And in most instances, that shelter has staff that will watch and make sure, since they work hand in hand. And then the organization that will be enrolling the veteran will come back in the morning to get them, and then they're documented as being in a shelter for one evening.
Okay. And my second question is, if you have a total of 40 beds in a facility and you're only looking at serving maybe 10 or less, maybe even 5 of those beds for a veteran, that does not constitute 75%. So
how you would be able to do that is you most likely, and I don't know how your building is set up, there is ways to do it. Some of the examples are if you want to the cost per square footage, if you're doing rooms based on that, let's say you have 40 rooms and 4 of them are going to be veteran specific. So you would have a cost of, you know, it costs $3,000 per room to do this. We're only going to do 4 for veterans. That's the amount we're asking for the capital portion.
Okay, so that your building itself doesn't have to be 75%.
What they pay for needs to be 75%. You have to be able to break it down for them within the budget that states this number is for veterans and the logic behind it. Most of the time it's per floor, per square footage, something along those lines that will make sense to them.
Okay.
The flip side of that is if the building is already constructed, you can still ask for per diem funds. It would be a per diem only PDO, per diem only funding, and that would, you could just get funds for providing housing services.
Okay, well, the building is not constructed yet, but it may be – the construction may begin before the release of funds or notification of funding. Is that an issue?
Okay, there's a lot of background noise, so as much as we can, if we can kind of watch that, I'd appreciate it. I'm sorry to be such a nag today. The funds that you'll get, once the application is approved, so if, let's say, the NOFA came out tomorrow, the deadline for that will probably be 6 weeks after that, so we're looking middle of February, end of February. Most of the time it would be a March 1st start date of the funds.
Okay.
Once you get notification that the funds have been be approved, they'll give you a start date of that grant. That's the first time that you can ask for funding for it. So starting March 1st, you could ask for funds March 1st on.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
If
you can keep quiet while I answer questions, I would greatly appreciate it so I don't have to mute everybody again. Thank you.
They have their lunch here.
Excuse me. I'm going to have to mute everybody if we can and start over again. So I appreciate it, just to be cognizant of other people asking questions. Thank you very much. If you can't go back, no. Once if they say March 1st is when your funding starts, then March 1st on is when you can bill for.
And you have 1 year of funding?
You have, I think it's roughly 18 months in order to start the funding process. There are things that can be done with that, but yes, typically the funds have to be spent within about a year to 18 months.
Okay, but construction is allowed to have already started.
Yes, but you wouldn't be able to pay for any of that construction that's
right.
already started.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Pat Kelly. I'm in Seattle with Common Ground. If working with a project to construct units for veterans, and it's mixed financing, and there are some community development block grant funds involved and home funds, which begin with HUD but then are filtered through the county government here, does that preclude?
Yeah, that's one of the exceptions that can happen. If it's federal money that comes through a local community, sometimes that's what can be used. Like I said, if you have specific questions, once the NOFA does come out, my suggestion is to call the Grant Per Diem office, and their number is later on in this application.
Okay.
Because I that's their call, and I don't make it. But if it's federal money that comes and is dispersed locally, sometimes
we're
it is legal. Allowed. I'll just say that, and it's up to them
I'm
to decide. To them, but they decide that.
Okay.
I have
Thank
a question.
Luther
okay.
Metropolitan Ministries.
Okay, go ahead.
We already have a per diem program in operation, and we're looking to, one, expand the beds from 25 to 32, and we're also looking to reconstruct some of the facility where the veterans stay, which is at 100%. They're all veterans that are in the 32 beds. Would
uh-huh.
this fall under this and could
yes,
be applied
would,
for the operating and the construction?
You could. The operating would be underneath the per diem. The construction would be under the capital grant.
Okay. Do you know there's no date now for the diem yet?
Everybody else got theirs out.
There's no date for what? I'm sorry. Ma'am, I can't hear when you're yelling into the phone. Please.
There's no date yet. The per diem part with the operating is not out yet.
No. Usually what happens is they give out the capital portion, and anybody that applies for the capital portion is eligible to receive per diem, and then kind of what's left over plus whatever they have left in the budget will be allocated for per diem.
Okay, thank you very much.
Later on. Mm-hmm. I'll take one more question.
I have a question.
I
have a question.
Okay,
my name is Lynn Jenkins.
I have a question, too.
With
okay.
New Directions in Los Angeles.
Okay, okay.
And I was what the first
okay,
person.
Okay, hold on a second,
down
please.
Here in Michigan where all these homeless people are.
Okay, I'm going to stop, and I know everybody has lots of questions, but I think the majority of you would like me to go through the rest of the presentation here, and then I will be glad to answer questions. So since we've got a consensus of people that are that have questions, I'm going to go through this very quickly, and then I will spend the rest of the time answering questions. If we do not answer your question today, we will be accessible by email and also via the phone. I will be out of the office, so email is the preferred method. Christina's going to talk when we email out the notes. You're going to have a space for questions specifically that we will get back to you. So I'm going to take this opportunity since I've got everyone quiet, have Christina mute all of the lines again, go through the rest of this very quickly, and then spend the rest of the time answering questions, okay? So Christina, if you're there, if you can mute the lines again, and I can go through this quickly, and then we will move through the rest of the questions as fast as possible.
Sure thing. I'm muting the lines again. One moment. Okay, go ahead, Melanie. *7 to unmute your line.
Like I said, I know there's a lot of questions, but I also want to get to the rest of this information, and I promise we will answer your questions. If it's not done on this call today, we will get to you within a reasonable amount of time. So if you could just be a little patient with us, I appreciate it. There's over 200 people on this call. So, just realize that there's a lot of people here, and we'll do our best to get to everybody today. As I mentioned, I'm going to go through the rest of this very quickly, specifically talking about the grant application, and then I'll spend the rest of the time answering questions. All right. So what happens with the grant application, the application process? There is a NOFA that is announced, which is Notice of Funds Available. It comes out on the Federal Register, and the Federal Register is published every day. You will receive notification for that if you are on our listserv, which you can do on our website, which is nchv.org. On the left-hand side towards the bottom, it says subscribe to our e-newsletter. If you put your email address in there, we will send you notice when that application does come out. Once it does come out, you will need to download the instructions in the application packages. You'll complete and send it in. It will go through a threshold review, a panel review, and in the instance of a capital grant, a second submission, which you'll send in the rest of your site location and documentation, and then the announcement will be given on the award selection. So the NOFA will be given, as I mentioned, you can find it on NCHV's website, VA's website, or within the Federal Register, but if you're on our listserv, you'll be able to get that. You're going to download the instructions. If you're applying for the first time, or even if you're not applying for the first time, read and reread the instructions. The first portion, the first section of that, Section A, is all about the instructions. It gives you date that it's due, font sizes, page limits, where to attach supporting documents, everything that you are probably going to be interested in are going to be included within that instruction. Then the general application is divided into six parts, and those six parts are going to be filled in as a fill-in-the-blank type situation, which means that you'll have a certain amount of space that you'll have to put that in. You can't change the font size because the font size will be, it's usually 10-point font, but it's listed within the instructions, so you can't make it smaller just to fit into the space. But you can only go into that space. If you make it longer than that, they will stop reading. The general information also lists how your application will be reviewed and scored. And that's important because you want to make sure that you're spending the appropriate amount of time on the largest number of points in that application. You're going to complete and send the application. Note that you are going to be sending it to Florida. It has to be delivered by that deadline or you will not be considered for an application or you will not be considered for funding. If you're sending it, I suggest FedEx. The post office sometimes has a issue of losing things. If you do send it by any type of postal service, obviously get a receipt and a confirmation that it was supposed to be delivered on that date. And if need be, you can show proof that that you did send it at that point in time. This is our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-VET-HELP. The VA grant per diem office is also reachable at 1-877-332-0334 if you have specific questions based, as we said before, about specific funding or certain regulations that you want specific of. Your application is going to be reviewed. The first basic things that are going to happen is, did it come in on time? Is it in the right format? Do you have all the correct documents? Is everything signed? Once it's done that, you're going to go through a panel review, which typically 8 to 10 people will review your application and score it independently. And then once you get a cumulative score, they will be ranked, and then they will be funded based on that ranking. Typically, someone from your area is not going to read that. And the best way I always tell people is that I always tell individuals that the best way to have somebody review your application is give it to somebody that has no idea what you do and see if they understand what your program is designed to do. It should answer all of the questions as soon as that veteran walks through your door to when that veteran leaves the door, what types of services and how you're going to provide those services to them. Don't assume anything. If you assume, it's probably going to get you in trouble. The panel is made up of clinicians as well as just general practitioners as well as just individuals that work within the VA who may not be on the medical side of it. So be specific and detailed with that. If you are not selected, you can request a grant review. Our offices does that as well as the grant per diem office, and I would suggest you do that so you can get feedback for future applications. Some of the things that work best when you're designing your application is, in most instances, veterans helping veterans. A lot of the programs that have been up and running for a very long time were started by veterans and run by veterans, and the mentality there is that they have a camaraderie that they can share with them, and the community that they build is based on the military model. Transitional housing, that is a holistic approach, meaning that you're serving the whole veteran, just not individual pieces of them. A complete case management file is one that includes what veteran needs, wants, and desires. All of those things must be included in order for the program to be successful in most instances. And individual case management that supports that include employment training and placement services. In most cases, veterans are going to want to become successful and get employment, whatever that may be, part-time, full-time, seasonal work, whatever it may be, but you're going to have to do the best you can to help support them. Some helpful tips that that you want to look at when you're filling out the application is that your narration should set the stage. In this case, the executive summary should set the stage for your proposal right at last, after you've finished everything else, because it's your summary. You want to write your executive summary last, and that way you'll get the high points of exactly what your program is doing. Any letters of support from agencies that you work with, got to have one from the local VA. So if you're looking to apply for funding within the next year, especially if you're looking to apply within the next round, get on the phone with your local VA. Let them know who you are. Get their advice on what they would do. First of all, they'll provide referrals for you, and second of all, you can't get funding without their support. and they will also be the agency, the local agency, that will help support and watch that as you monitor the funds as you go through. You have to show that there is a need in your area. You do that through your local challenge report, as I mentioned before, showing that there is a high level of veterans and a lack of services in your area. Just like with anything, if you can't show that there is a huge number of women veterans or veterans with dependent children or whatever the case may be, they're not going to feel that your organization needs to be funded because there's 10 other organizations out there that need to be funded above yours. I'll mention this as well. It is a national competition. You're not only just competing with people in your city, state. You're competing with across all the 50 states. So you want to make sure that you show the need in your area as greatest as possible. If you don't agree with the VA's numbers, use whatever numbers you feel are adequate and explain why your numbers should be the ones that are there. But because the VA funds the study and you're trying to get VA funds, you must use the VA challenge report data. I'm trying to move those quickly. Collaboration is key here. So you're not going to be able to provide all services to veterans in your community. You're going to want to look in the community and see who's already providing services and how you can partner with them. For instance, if there's a medical center or a health clinic that could help fill in the gap for individuals that necessarily couldn't get their services at the VA medical center, work with them to see if you can get them into those programs. Your goals and objectives should be time-limited and measurable, meaning that you can see exactly what you're trying to do. Anything you put in that grant application is what you're going to be held to. So if you say you're going to have a 100% return rate in all of these types of goals and objectives, that's what you're going to be held to. I always say try to aim a little bit low, and it's always good to go over those goals, but you want to be realistic when you set up those goals and not try to reach something too high, because if you're not, you're not going to be considered successful. Some of the other strengths of application is, once again, is your needs clearly defined, and did you use your challenge data? Clearly defining your outcomes and making sure they are specific and broken down by objectives. Securing matching funds before or at the time of your application being submitted. Even if it's a letter from a bank saying, if ABC organization gets funding from the VA, we will give X number of dollars to this. That is considered matching funds because even though it's contingent, because if you get those funds, they're saying that they'll provide the backing to that. Coordination with other programs in your community, specifically the VA, get to know your homeless coordinator and also your medical center liaison, grant per diem liaison, as they will be a vital assets to you. Reach out and get technical assistance when you have questions, and I know we have a lot of those. That's why I'm trying to get through these quickly. Some of the next steps are when that NOFA comes out, we will have another conference call specifically talking about what's included in that NOFA limitations, what the funding is going to pay for, those types of things. Download the application from the VA's website, and Christina will put a link up on our website that will give the sample application. The application doesn't change year to year too much, so go ahead and get a look, a good idea about what's asking and start to fill that out, because typically you only have about 6 weeks to fill that in, and once the deadline passes, it's usually about 120 days before funding is announced. So it's kind of the time frame that you're going out with that. Assess the needs in your community and select your target population. Do you have a high level of specific populations that need services, or is it just the general homeless veteran population? Take that into consideration when you're designing your program, and that will help you set yourself apart from some of the other programs maybe in your area. Okay, I know I've talked really quick, but I'm going to do my best to try to get answers to the most questions that I can. So please be patient. If you're not answering, if you're not asking a question, please don't talk into your phone, or we're going to have to mute everybody again and start over. So I'm going to go through these quickly. Be cognizant of the fact that there are a lot of people on the call, and just answer one question. In this instance, we don't necessarily need to know who you are unless it really varies on to your question in general, and we'll just try to get through as many of these as we can. So it's *7 to unmute your line.
Hello, my question is, we have been successful in getting these grants in the past, and we're known for this, and we have had some smaller agencies in adjacent communities ask us about partnering. Are we eligible to apply for two grants?
if it would be expanding the program you already have or be a new program, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Where would we find the challenge report data coordinator or person in our state?
Okay, the challenge report can be downloaded from the VA, which is va.gov. You go to down towards the bottom of the page, and Christina will put a link up to the challenge report also, but if you want to look at it now, you will go underneath the homeless veteran special populations on the VA's website. On the left-hand side, it's CHALENG, and you can download the report there, and it'll give you the contact for those medical centers within that document and the appendix.
I have a question from Sacramento.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. At a minimum, the capital grant program, does it have to provide housing?
Yes, housing is the key component, and services is the second key component.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You guys are doing great with your questions. Keep it up. I appreciate it.
I have a question about bands.
Okay.
Is that part of the general application?
It's usually covered underneath the capital grant, and it's a separate application, and you can apply for a van only. I don't know what's going to be included in this grant, but what I'll tell you is it will say that within the NOFA, if vans are allowable, the total cost of the van, the number of vans, and if you're eligible to apply if you are a new or existing program. So that beyond that, I really can't answer your question except for you to know that it will be listed within the NOFA. It is allowable funding. I don't know if they'll do it this time or not.
Thank you.
Is there a minimum amount of beds?
I would say I've seen programs as small as 5. I've seen them as big as over 300, 400, close to 500. I would say 5 to 10 if you're starting out small is perfectly feasible, but you might want to explain why you're starting small even if it's just you're new and you want to see how things go. But most of the time they will not fund anything smaller than 10. Sometimes they'll do 5. But if they're looking at construction of a building, it just doesn't make sense to build a building for 3 people.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
If you have scattered housing sites and not all of the services are provided or available on site, what is the minimum or maximum distance between the housing facilities and the services that are acceptable for recognition under the grant?
I don't think, and this could be something that you could ask the VA Grant Per Diem Office. I'm not entirely sure that there are limitations, especially if you provide transportation to and from your housing to those where those services are being offered.
Okay.
Hello?
That makes sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm starting a startup business, nonprofit in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was trying to find out, I'm in the middle of doing the 501c3, and it's not completed yet. Is there another date for the disbursement date for that? Or if I miss, like if it starts in March, if I miss it because my 501c3 is not completed, is there another time this year?
There's usually one capital grant that's given out, and then usually after that, usually 4 to 6 months after that is when a per diem, if they're going to offer that, which is what they call a per diem only.
Uh-huh.
And we don't really know. It's based on congressional approval and what's in the budget. So I don't know. They don't seem to say. It's just basically what's appropriate and what remains after those funds have to been dispersed.
Okay. And second question is I have a 10-bedroom house that I'm renovating and stuff. And as far as with the life safety codes, and do they still have the same effect because this is considered as a home but not a building?
Yes, they would have to. They would apply. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I have a question, and that is, in that case, would he be able to partner with another agency that already has their active 501c3? As a partner and be able to go on and apply for the grant?
Yes, you can partner with an existing organization. Just know, I'll give you a word of warning, not saying a thing, but I'll tell you that the organization that has the 501c3 would be the ones that have the funding, that would get the funding, and it would be their job to disperse it to him. So you would just want to make sure that you have a very strong memorandum of agreement that ensures that your organization is going to be funded by them.
Thank you.
I have
a
question
about
these. You
guys are doing great. Keep up the questions. I appreciate it.
This conference call, is it going to be the same one on the 22nd and the 28th?
It is going to be the same information, yes.
Oh, okay, because I didn't know and I registered for all three of them.
Yeah, it's going to be the same information, and what we may do, depending on the questions, how many we get through, we may just do a general question and answer period once the NOFA does come out, but it is going to be the same same presentation.
Okay,
on
thank
both
you.
Calls.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hello.
This
yes,
is Larry Campos in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We have a 2-year program here to integrate veterans back into mainstream society, and we applied for a per diem grant last year, and unfortunately our building did not pass the life safety code. If we apply for this capital outlay, is there a way to get an extension on the approval of that per diem grant from last year?
You would have to speak with the grant per diem office about that. There are ways to get extensions, but you would have to speak directly with them to see if they would be willing to do that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
If awarded a capital grant, what time frame does the building have to be completed in order for this particular process to apply?
Sure. In most instances, it's 18 to 24 months. There are ways to get extensions. For instance, if you're having issues with your construction, those types of things, it will be listed within your documents of how long it will be required for it to be built.
And you indicated that other federal dollars cannot apply. Say you get SHP funds, could those provide the supportive services even though those are federal dollars, or does it have to be another source?
SHP, correct me if I'm wrong, or for more permanent housing, correct?
Transitional and permanent housing.
In most instances, they cannot be used as a match. You would have to use some other types of funding.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a possibility of getting some state funds. Would
mm-hmm.
that count against me for the federal funds?
It depends on where they come from. What I would suggest that you do is to speak directly with the grant per diem office. State funds are usually the ones that can be allowed, but it kind of depends on where the state funds come from. And I know I'm being really vague at the matching dollars, but because it's the VA's final decision, I always refer to them to say, this is our total budget. This is how much we're looking to get from either SHP or our local state. And is this going to be allowable? And they'll tell you before you even apply if it's going to be allowable.
Okay.
But this, since they have the final say, and it varies case by case, that's the easiest and safest way for me to make that referral.
Well, it would be coming from the Department of Veterans Services.
Okay, then, yeah, most I would speak to them and see, but most likely it would not be.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If a home is donated to your organization, and can you use the portion of the VA funding for the remaining balance of the grant?
You can use some funds as a in-kind donation, yes, but not all of it can be in-kind. You have to have some cash as well.
Okay.
But, yes, if you purchase the house at a discount, then you would get the donation of that discount as a match, but you would also have to have additional funds. You couldn't get just that be your match. You'd have to have some additional cash also.
Thank you.
But you can use in-kind donations as a portion of your match.
Okay.
So that's a donation of land qualify as a match for the 35%?
It can, yes. A portion of it, yes.
Do you have any idea if it's funded, what kinds of funds may be available, just a ballpark? Hello?
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 I think, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I think the call got dropped because I wanted to ask a question. This is Ed Houston from Phoenix House, Maryland.
So did I.
Melanie,
are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think
yes,
we
I
might have lost
you.
Melanie.
Can you guys hear me?
I think we lost Melanie.
Yes, Ruth, I can hear you.
Okay. You know, would everyone mind just sitting tight for maybe a minute? I think Melanie might. She's calling from L.A., so she might have gotten her cell phone cut off. Maybe we can just give her a minute. Maybe she can call back in. If everyone doesn't mind just waiting about a minute.
Thank you.
Hey, Christina, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're there? Okay.
Well, what about
I'm sorry.
Me?
I don't know what happened. I can try to get on back as soon as the problem happens.
Okay,
so
everyone, I'm going to go ahead and mute all the lines again, and then we'll get started. One moment. Okay. Go ahead, Melanie. Melanie, are you still there? It's *7 to unmute your line.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know why it keeps going in and out, so we'll see. We'll try our best here.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see if we can answer some more questions. *7.
Hello, Melanie?
Ruth from Chicago, Maryland.
Yes, this is Edward Houston from Phoenix House, Maryland. Last year, the grant was for acquisition and renovation, but also it was a breakdown for the veteran demographic that was going to be served for the supportive services and the housing. Now, my goal is to do for female veterans. Is there still going to be a breakdown like it was last year? Because I think it was earmarked $19 million for organizations that were primarily targeting female veterans.
Right, and what those are considered priorities.
Okay.
Can you still hear me? They're considered priorities. Those will be listed within the NOFA, and I can't really speak to that until it comes out, but what I'll tell you is that they are for target populations, and those are sometimes the different ways they'll do priorities are geographic priorities. If there's a great need or a lack of services somewhere, it'll be a geographic priority, and then they'll also sometimes be a priority for certain populations.
Right.
And we really don't know that until the NOFA comes out, but it will be listed specifically within that NOFA.
Okay, but also will that coincide with the challenge report, because those were the numbers that were based
right.
on the 07-08 challenge report.
Right. Sometimes, yeah, they're using what a lot of times they'll do is say based on across-the-board challenge, they see that there's a lot of women that are requesting services, so they'll target that population. That's how they'll sometimes do it. It doesn't mean that there won't be general population services that can get funds.
Okay.
It just means certain portion of that will be earmarked for them.
Okay. And the other part of my question, I have a property that's available that was once used to house some foreign exchange students. But the other piece is for the total acquisition of a land. Now, how it will, like I say, 35% has to be money of our own, but will 65% go toward the cost of that particular property we want to use?
It would be your budget. So it would be the total of your budget.
The total of the budget?
The acquisition and the building on that. So it would be
okay,
your total
okay. The purchase of the land and the building. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So it would be
all right.
Everything involved. So it's your total budget, just not your acquisition
okay.
or your building cost. It would be your building plus your land cost. And make sure you put that in there, because if you ask for only your building cost and you don't ask for the land, you're not going to be able to go back and ask for more money.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Okay.
Melanie Roof from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Question. If you are not a 501c3, what other charitable organization could apply for this? Is it a church or what have
well,
you?
Well, if the church does it, they would also have to be a 501c3. Your state or local government could do it, a veteran service organization, or a tribal government. Those are the only eligible entities across the board. So you would have to partner with one of them.
Okay, great.
All right, more questions?
Can the capital grant ever be used for permanent housing?
No. VA is very specific. They up 24 months is the total amount that they will allow. In some instances, and it's very few, they will provide services only in permanent housing, but that's kind of a new thing that a lot of it depends on where you are and what types of services you are offering. But anything permanent-wise will be services only and not housing.
Okay, thank you.
If you get any money. So you can. It happens on occasion, but it will never be for housing over 24 months.
What about the children's and wives of veterans? You can't do anything for grants for those type of people?
The way it usually works is if, let's say, you have a two-bedroom apartment that you're housing a veteran and his family in, The VA could provide the funding of if it was a one-bedroom, but the additional funds, let's say your two-bedroom costs $3,000 a month to run and operate, and your one-bedroom costs $1,500. You could charge the VA $1,500, but you have to make up the other portion of that.
Okay. And if it's based on coming out of the organization's pocket, or if the veteran is stable enough to withstain paying rent, can it also be considered also?
You can charge up to 30% of a veteran's income. Okay. What I will tell you that is very looked very positively on by the VA is that a veteran will pay the 30% of their income, whatever it may be, and that money is put into a trust.
Okay.
And when that individual leaves after the 24 months, they are given that money as a down payment or whatever it may be to help them set up for their long-term housing.
Okay.
But you can charge 30% of a veteran's income.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. More questions? I'm happy to stay on for another 10 minutes, and then I want to be cognizant of everybody's time. So
I had a question about what you were just talking about
charging up to 30%. Okay, hold on just one second here. I'm going to have Christina kind of wrap up the call, and then I'm going to stay on. So if you have questions, go ahead and stay on. But for those of you that have to go or have your questions answered, then I'm going to go ahead and finish the call since it is time. Christina?
Hey, thanks, Melanie. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We do encourage you if you want to hear the same presentation or maybe you want an opportunity to ask questions. For Melanie, again, we are hosting two more calls, or if you know anyone who wasn't able to tune into this call today, we have two upcoming calls that will be covering the same information. It will be January 22nd, which is a Thursday, and January 28th. These ones will be at 2 o'clock. So if you know anyone who would like to tune into these calls who wasn't able to today, please do direct them to our website. Again, our website is www.nchv.org, and they can click on our conference calls icon to find out more information about those calls. For anyone who wasn't able to ask questions today and does have to leave now, please do feel free to email me or Melanie with any questions that you do have, and we'll be happy to get those answers to you. Again, my name is Christina, and my email address is nchv6@nchv.org. And Melanie's email address is nchv5@nchv.org. Again, this call is being recorded, and in the next day or two, I will send out a link so that everyone can access it, so you can listen to it. If you have any other questions, we do have also can reach us by phone at 1-800-VET-HELP, V-E-T-H-E-L-P. I know Melanie's going to stick around for a few more minutes to answer any more questions. But for everyone else, thank you so much for tuning in. And please do stay tuned for future calls. Okay, I'll turn it back over to Melanie. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. I'll go ahead and say that I'm going to be out of the office the rest of the week, and then between the holidays and inauguration in D.C., email is probably your best bet if you have a question that wasn't addressed today. I'll go ahead and stay in a few more minutes, but just know that email is probably the best way to get to us, and we'll do our best to get back to you in a timely fashion. So I know there's some more questions, so I'll give you guys about 10 minutes. And then we'll go from there. Other questions?
Yes, I have a question, and that is on the 25% who do not have to be the veteran. Do they still have to be related to the veteran, or can they still be a person who is homeless and needs the same services?
They can be anyone. They do not have to be related to them.
Okay, thank you.
I believe someone had a question about the 30% funding or rent that they could pay. Are they still on the line?
Melanie?
Yes.
Yes, I've got a question. I'm with the Veterans Organization Viet Nau outside of Chicago in Rockford, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And is this grant is just basically for housing only?
It's housing and services.
And services. Now, we have... our organization supports the stand-downs in every state.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a gentleman that does a food run every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Now, can this grant be used for that?
Stand Down is different because it's a one-day event. Uh-huh. There are funds from Department of Labor that you can apply for the Stand Down. But Stand Down is something that would be considered in conjunction with the program that you would be offering. So no, in most instances, it's a program in and of itself or a project in and of itself.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you say the for housing and services, for a lot of the veterans, they don't even have their certificate of eligibility. They don't have even income coming in from the government. They don't have the proper paperwork. So basically that monies can be used towards that.
Well, the two things I would caution you with is to know that a veteran that is eligible for services underneath this grant would be one that anyone that was discharged other than dishonorably would be eligible. So if you have a dishonorably discharged veteran, they would not be eligible for services underneath this grant. So you're going to want to make sure that you have a way to determine if those individuals have the proper discharge from the military. But, yes, the funding could be used to help those individuals get their paperwork, the proper case management, and the linkages to programs. Yes, that is something that could be allowable.
Okay, then.
I have a question. My name is Rupert Rogers, Veterans Enterprise Technology Service, Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
On the services program for per diem, the day rate,
mm-hmm.
that's a separate building to
no,
provide that,
could...
and what's the rate for per diem?
Per diem is the maximum is 33, and some it's usually like 33.17 is the maximum rate. It can be provided in the same location, or it could be provided somewhere else. It's typically provided in the same location as the housing.
Okay, thank you.
Was there other questions? Okay, like Christina mentioned, someone else. Okay, as Christina mentioned, if you have questions or something comes up as you're looking through the information or thinking through this, feel free to give me an email or a call, and we'll do our best to get back to you. My email, once again, is nchv5@nchv.org. I appreciate everybody's patience. I know there's a lot of people on this call today. And I wish everyone best of luck, and let us know how we can assist you when you start applying for the grants. We will be doing a conference call on the NOFA once it is announced, so stay tuned for that. And also, if you sign up for our listserv, we'll announce both the notice of funds available as well as the conference call for that. So stay tuned, and we wish everyone the best of luck. And thank you very
thank
much
you.
For your patience during the call.
Thank you very much for the conference.
Christina.
Thank you.